Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Hey, everybody. Johnny B. here. Good morning.
Johnny B.
Yes, sir.
Here we roll. Oh, hour number two already.
We are trolling along, Captain.
We are. We're getting it. All right. Well, let's get to the phones. Got Captain Mike Williams hanging on. Let's go to him real quick and see what he's up to this morning. Mike, good morning. What's up? Do we have Mike?
Mike, you're on.
Step up to the mic, Mike.
Well,
we don't have him.
I'll put him on hold.
Here again. We go. It's going to be one of those Sundays.
One of those days.
Yeah. Gremlins.
Trying to do my voodoo magic.
Yeah, you can do that, man.
No,
voodoo magic,
really.
Mike. Oh, well. All right. Got some dense fog advisories on my phone this morning, some alerts. Galveston and Anahuac and, you know, in our area around here. So, all right, we got Mike back. All right. Mike, good morning.
Hello. Are you sure you got the right Mike?
Oh, this is Mike Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What's up?
Sunshine, blue skies. What happened?
Johnny B., what are you doing to me, man?
It pressed wrong into the call screen, and it said Mike Williams. My bad.
Okay. Oh, well. I'm looking on my screen. I'm going, okay, well, your voice has changed a little, Mike. What's up, man?
My fault.
Like I say, everything is good. Oh, what a Sunday. Mercy sakes. Nah, duck season's winding down. Deer season's starting. I went fishing yesterday morning for about 40 minutes down at the end of the road, caught three trout. I hit my top water for about 20 minutes, never had to roll over. I went to that dime. I saw the mullet jump up front and just waded over there and threw that big O and had three trout and two reds in about 15 minutes. So I just called it a day.
Oh,
I want what I can eat, you know.
Yeah.
I don't freeze fish.
No. I'm with you.
I ain't supposed to. You know, but fishing good, family's good. Fixing to have another operation on my shoulder. You know, just
again?
Yeah, you know, I had rotator cuff, then I had another rotator cuff, and then I ripped it out completely, then they replaced my shoulder, and I got a little zealous with it, I guess. It's like my knee. I think they're fixing to replace my knee again because it's over 10 years old, and they told me it'd last a good 10 years on old people, but most old people aren't, if I'm old, I guess I'm older, than you, aren't quite
as
active.
Old are you now?
Older than you, Mickey.
No, you're not. There's
yes,
no
I
way.
Am.
You
yes,
still
sir,
act like a little kid.
You got a birthday coming, what, December?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, around December, because I know up at Blaine's Camp, or down in Blaine's Camp. You know, that's normally where you wind up at around your birthday.
Always. 30 straight years of that.
Yeah.
That's my Christmas birthday trip.
Yeah. It's history. That's fine. You're talking about those pilchards, you know, coughing up those fish. You're in a trout tournament. even red tournament, they got a big fish in their belly, you sew their mouth up with your stringer, even if you're throwing it up. You know, it's funny. It's a good thing trout don't get to get, be 6 foot long, and we'd be losing hands out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't whitefish.
Yeah, I've caught 4 pound, you know, trout with 1 pound trout in their mouth. I mean, their tail sticking out, and they still hit a topwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're savage animals.
And well, they get in that mode, that feeding mode, and they just, they don't know when to quit.
Well, that's why we have slicks. If they didn't regurgitate, we would not be able to find trout. You know, not by sight like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, no, fishing good. Hunting's going to be good. Our dove hunt is mediocre. You know, we got to move from one end of our pastures to the other end of our pastures. You know, learn to fly. You better start flying high after the third or fourth day, you know. They're not stupid. And that's like Tarks Park, Texas, parking wildlife. Take a drink, Mike. yeah. Bloody Mary morning. You come up and they put their gill nets in the same place every year. It just blows my mind. And that's what they use for their trout count and their redfish count.
Yeah.
And that's why I was trying to fish the bite, fish, take a drink, dang. Good morning.
That's why you were trying to what?
That's why we were trying to fight the 5 fish limit in this area.
Yeah.
You know, when it came in, because we would catch plenty of trout. Of course, we wanted to reduce the size of the keep so people wouldn't kill as many small trout. But they kept putting their gill nets in the same place, and it's just kind of like hunting dove. If they keep getting caught in one area, and those trout that use that migration route find it, you'll understand that they're losing kinfolk there or whatever, they're going to go around it. But Texas Park and Wildlife use those numbers consistently. I won't get on that rant and rave either. Anyway, do me a favor, sir.
Okay.
I disappear on you. Go ahead and give Ray Stanley my phone number. Did you get around to doing that?
Yeah, I think I did.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll be talking to Ray later this morning. He usually calls in the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay, cool.
In the sicko hour.
I miss him so much. It's just, man, we got some memories going back over 60 years, you know. It's just drag boat racing. You're talking about fun.
Oh, yeah. Race Boat Ray.
Yeah. You know, he was a character. But I love y'all, brother.
Okay, Mike, you too. And hang in there, man. Sorry about your shoulder. You just need to, you know.
It ain't nothing but.
It comes a time in an old man's life he needs to realize that even though you got the heart, sometimes you just don't have the legs. You got to tone it down a little bit.
No. When you stop, you die. Besides that, I'm still.
I'm not talking about stopping. I'm just talking about taking care of your body. A man's got to know his limitations.
Oh, that's what they keep telling me. But, you know, if I realize my limitations, I won't find my next.
Your future ex-wife?
Yeah, you know, we're dying. Dying. But I love you, brother. Say hi.
All right, Mike. See you, buddy. All right, take care. All right, that's Captain Mike Smith down in Port Lavaca. We used to call it Lavaca, but since he moved there, we call it Lavaca. Bloody Mary morning. Had a texter text in. Good morning, Captain Mickey. Can you explain how to fish the wells in the bay with artificial and live bait? That's a pretty easy one there. I mean, when the fish are on the wells real good, I usually, you know, a lot of people, the biggest mistake they make, they'll motor up to that well and press it pretty hard. They usually anchor up too close to the well itself. They think they got to throw right at the well. Once you learn these wells and how their bottom structure is laid out, you know, all your wells that were drilled in the summer and the winter, the shale is on one end of the other. You have your, where they put that base of shale down to support their barge and their rig when they're punching that hole. If they're mainly doing it in a northerly fashion. You know, they always put the head of the barge into the north wind, and then they start their drilling project. And they set up for that, and they did back in the day. Now they have, you know, they can do it a lot easier different ways, you know, when they drive the pilings down to support everything. But, you know, in Trinity, a lot of your shale on these wells, you know, are either on the south end or the north end. And once you learn these wells and figure out where your best shale growth is on one end or the other. Now, right now, we haven't had any good shale growth. And it's been a while because of the severe drought conditions we had for 3 or 4 years and then the severe flooding we had for 6 years. That's 9 years of habitat loss and, you know, dead oyster life, clamshell life, all of it. It's just all the substrate on the bottom's dead right now. But what I like to do is I'll back off that well, especially when I know that I got a pretty good chance I'm going to catch some fish on this well. If I know it has a big pad on the south end, you know, I try to, and wind dictates, you know, how you approach a well and which end of it you're going to fish. Now, if you've got a, you got too much current and too much wind, I'd suggest trying something else. You know, the whales, it gets real rough out there. It's hard to catch them on those whales. But calmer days. But anything, if you have an east wind or a west wind, either one, you know, light, where you can approach that well from either side, and then you know you got a big pad on the south end, that sets up perfectly for you. And I'll put my troll motor down and get into range where I'm throwing up on that shell. You don't have to throw right next to the well. A lot of times those fish will be way back out off one end to the other, depending on where the shell is configured on that well. And you fish it that way, approach it. And when you first get there, if you're a live bait fisherman, you like a popping cork rig, you know, start out shallow, fishing about 3 feet, 4 feet deep under a popping cork early in the morning. And then as the day progresses, you'll want to deepen that cork. You know, I remember we used to fish live bait on them years ago. We'd end up, we had to use slip corks because we'd have to fish 8, 9 feet deep and use a slip cork that way, the old Trinity Bay rig. But, you know, with artificials, when we started getting all these big-time soft plastics and excellent jig heads and everything else, man, that's the only way to target these fish. Because you can throw your tail out there, and as it drops down in the water column, when you get your bite, you know about how deep that bite was. Then you can adjust and try to keep your lure in the strike zone, whether you're using a swim bait like a shad tail or anything like a shrimp tail imitation or a rat tail or even the Little John, which I think imitates a shrimp more than anything else. And, you know, once you approach that well and you start getting bites or somebody hooks up, I immediately put the anchor out. I stab it right there, and I've got plenty of anchor rope. That way, if they move, I can let more out and still reach the fish. Trolling motor works good, but the more you run that, the more you spook those fish and keep them off of it. A lot of people will run a trolling motor right over the top of those fish. They might as well move to another well. They pretty much blown it out for the time being. But slide that anchor over and come tight and fish it out. And you can keep those fish going for, you know, when we used to have a lot of fish, you could keep them going for an hour, 2 hours long and just catch and release fish till you were just sick of it. So that's pretty much that on well fishing in Trinity Bay or really anywhere you're fishing. It depends on the current and the wind. You got to play all the variables. That's part of the game.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
So, yeah, so we're drifting in there. We're almost to the point of pulling the plug, and we did shortly after that. And Amanda says, that's okay, it's Jake's birthday, and he really didn't expect to catch anything today. He's just having a good time. I said, he didn't expect to catch anything. I said, well, you got the right guy.
Yeah, that's me.
I said, it's your lucky day.
Your wishes are fulfilled.
Yeah.
Big Lake to Matagorda,
and some places in between. Fayette County, Buchanan, Big Sam to live in, Lake Livingston and Conroe. If you wanna hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Weather-wise this morning, if you'll stick your head out the door, you might lose a little of your hair this morning. It's blowing just a little bit. How about you, Plog? You don't have any hair left,
no,
do you?
No, it's gone already. Don't matter.
Is it gone?
It's gone.
What about you, Hillman?
Oh, man, just living the dream every day. It's unbelievable.
It's been nice.
Loving
out there,
life. Hasn't it? Man, no, boy. Nobody fishing, no boat. 5 pounders all day long.
Yeah, you wish.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 5-pound bass.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 521 in the Bayou City. Let's go down to POC, Port O'Connor. Let's talk to Captain Lynn Smith, see what he's up to this morning. Lynn, what's up?
Well, the wind.
You got a little breeze down there? Looks like about 15 or so.
Yeah, it's picking up. It's definitely picking up.
I don't want to hear that.
Tide's down a little bit from yesterday.
Yeah.
I tell you what, boy, that tide was up. But it's still high, but nothing like yesterday. But, you know, I kind of like that high tide, but it's down some from yesterday. But, you know, with that high tide, I like getting back in those lakes and chasing those redfish. And so we've been doing that. And, of course, a lot of those trout get back in those lakes, too.
Yeah, they do. Some big ones at times, too.
Yes, sir. And I was back in the lakes last couple of days, and we were drifting some of those lakes, throwing topwaters, and we caught some pretty nice fish. So had a lot of blow-ups and a lot of good fish. One day I just scouted, and because I had like 5 days straight coming up, and I had some, caught my reds real quick, and then I went to another area of one of these lakes where the trout kind of hung out and caught some pretty nice trout. But, they were having that chrome and blue.
Chrome and blue.
She-dog. They were on it, man.
Boy, when the sun's out, I love that bait kind of mid-morning, middle of the day. Man, they eat that chrome and blue up, buddy.
They knocked all the chrome and blue off. They did, man. They wanted it. It was kind of funny. I had a red chase that bait. You know how it is, that pushing that wake, and he's coming at it.
They rear that water up behind that bait, pushing it like that bait's surfing, man.
I said, eat it. And boy, when he nailed it, I got that red in. It was about a half inch of that bait sticking out of his mouth. That was it.
Boy, he went home with that one. He Babe Ruth that did. One, buddy.
He did. I love it when that happens. But, no, it's been good. And the trout, they've shown up, some pretty good trout, you know. So,
yeah.
Nothing real big, but some decent fish. But anyway, the tide's starting to kind of fall a little bit, which I kind of like. We'll fish some drains and catch some of these fish with that water coming out of these marshes and lakes. So, It's happening.
Y'all seeing many flounder down there right now? Any kind of a hint of a flounder run starting at all?
Nothing serious. I haven't seen any serious. I haven't caught any. But I've seen a few people that target them, you know. And
right.
They're picking a few. So nothing real serious, though.
Right.
I haven't heard of anything yet. That water temperature has got to drop some. We got to get some good cold northers. We got to get a little cold front. That water temp yesterday, I waded wet, and it was 76 water temp. That wasn't bad. Wasn't bad at all.
Not as long as it's warm outside.
Yeah, your voice changed a little bit when you got in.
Did it? Yeah, we all know about that.
Uh-huh.
When it's kind of cool that, I try to stay as shallow as I can before I have to make the plunge, go out a little bit deeper.
Yeah. God almighty. Yeah, I kept getting closer and closer to those mangroves, you know, and I kept watching my depth gauge. I'm like, man, it used not to be this deep opposed to the mangrove. Yeah, I kept getting closer and closer. Finally, I got up there and I put my talon down and got out. And I said, ooh, it's over my waist. Yeah, it was plenty deep up tight. But
I'll just do it right. Just park where it's deep enough where when you jump off the ladder in the back, you just get it all. You just make the plunge. Ice bucket challenge.
Ooh, gosh. Yeah, it was pretty deep. It looks like the water's fallen. Oh, it probably fell out a foot or more this morning, so that's good. Yeah, yesterday I was going to come down and launch at Clark's, and I got about halfway down the road, and the water was over the road.
Oh, boy.
Oops. Stop. I backed up. Went down to the fishing center and put in. I wasn't going to drive through that salt water to put my boat
no.
in.
No.
Not happening.
Has there been a lot of crowds down there this weekend? Has it been busy?
Not really. I mean, it's been okay. Pretty good crowd. But I think that storm, you know, drove a lot of people away.
Yeah.
Needless to say, it pushed a lot of people away. But there were still quite a few boats on the water yesterday. Quite a few, but I think most of the people were, well, they had a couple of little tournaments yesterday, little small company tournaments, and so there were a few boats on the water, but nothing like what normal on a Saturday, you know. So it wasn't too bad, but anyway, it'll get bad in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
But anyway, deer season's coming up, so that'll thin them out. That'll definitely thin them out.
Thin a few,
Yep. Yep. And I'll be back at the ranch here pretty soon. We got management hunters coming down there, and we got to start hunting them and put some meat in the freezers.
So thin in the herd. That. Yes, sir.
Yep, in the herd. In the herd. They did the flyover at the ranch, and I haven't talked to the ranch manager to find out how that went, but I'm sure it went good. So I think we've got to harvest quite a few does and bucks. I didn't see too many management deer or too many cull bucks, really.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you don't see too many. But like I was telling these guys at least the ranch, these bow hunters, I said, you haven't seen anything yet. You wait till December. You know, the big boys really start showing up. And from the helicopter, you don't see a lot of these big deer from the helicopter. You just don't see them. And I mean, I've done several surveys from the helicopter, and you can literally see a big buck jump into a mott and hover right over him, and he won't come out. Sometimes you can barely see him. They'll look up at you. But they won't come out that heavy. Heavy brush.
So, no, they'll get in those motts and just stand there, and you can see them in there, especially when you can drive a truck right up to them, and they'll just sit there staring at you and thinking they're hid. And
I tell you what, I came around the corner one day going to a blind to fill a feeder, and just as I turned the corner around the corner of the brush to go to this feeder, there was a big buck standing under the feeder, and he was probably 26 inches wide, maybe 27 wide, and he was a big mature deer and heavy horn deer. And I stopped and I grabbed my binoculars and I was looking at him, and he ran to the other end of the field and into the brush in the end of the shade.
Right.
And he stood there at the brush, and he was watching me, and he laid down. I watched him lay down, and he was laying there watching me. And I never saw him get up. I guarantee you that deer crawled off. I'll guarantee it. But he never got up and ran.
Wow.
You can't tell me those deer aren't smart. I mean,
no, they are. They've made me look stupid plenty of times.
they didn't get beat by being stupid, you know.
No, they didn't. Kind of like big trout.
I remember seeing one in this pasture. It was 16 points, and he was a big buck hung out in this one pasture. We were driving around, And I said, stop, stop. We knew he was hanging out there, and he was laying down behind a tree that was down. And you could see his horns sticking up behind this dead tree.
Wow.
And we were sitting there looking at the horns, and all of a sudden the horns started easing up. And he peeked at us over the tree, the dead tree. And
Man.
Then he just lowered his head down real slow. He was
laying down
behind that tree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm telling you, they are smart.
Well, and they know when they get older, too, that most sets of eyes detect movement. You know, it's just like squirrel in a tree. You know, a dog, a tree, a squirrel, and that squirrel, if he keeps running around that tree, a dog's going crazy, and as soon as he'll stretch out on the limb and lay and not move, he'll sit there for 30 minutes with a dog down mm-hmm. below barking at him. It's, these animals know. They definitely know how to survive, buddy.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Mother Nature takes care of them. Are you
fishing today, Lynn?
Yeah, sure am.
You got time for a commercial break, or do you need to go?
You bet. No, I got time. Yeah.
All right. Well, let me do a quick profit timeout, and I'll come back to you. How about that?
You betcha, man.
All right, man. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Little Marty Robbins there. All right, 5:37 in the Bayou City. Let's go back and talk some more with Captain Lynn Smith. All right, Lynn, we're back, man.
Oh, man. Hey, one of the customers brought some of that Belleville boudin down to the ranch.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Whew, man, that was good.
You know, I had some deer meat converted into that last year, and I'm almost out of it now. And that was a big hit around my house, that Belleville boudin. It was really good.
Oh, man. That was good. Yeah, I may have to get some of that.
I'll have some more made this year. You can bank on that one, buddy. Take that to the bank.
Well, I'm telling you. Yeah, I may have to pop a doe and take it over there.
Heck yeah.
That was good. Yeah, boy. But
well,
anyway, it's about that time of the year. We got to start harvesting some does and some coal bucks. But like I said, I didn't see many coal bucks on the trail cameras or anything like that. So it's going to be a year where we got to really start looking at them pretty serious and start getting it done.
What do you consider a coal there on your ranch, y'all trying to manage it properly? What's a deciding factor on one when you decide, well, this deer's really got to go, he's not going to be much more than this?
Well, you know, three-year-old or better, three-year-old or more, if he's just doesn't have much in time length or anything like that. I mean, we've had some that are like a three-year-old or older that, wide, you know, he's wide and he doesn't have any time length or something like that. Let's say he's an eight-year-old and no time length, he needs to go, you know, for sure.
And, no brow tines, you know, that kind of deal.
Yeah, definitely, if he doesn't have brow tines, they need to go, yeah, for sure. And like we have, we saw one come into this one stand. This deer must be, oh gosh, I bet he's, you know, he's probably 20 inches wide, and he doesn't have a brow tine over 3 inches tall. You know?
Uh-huh.
Now, something like that, yeah, he needs to go. Yeah, he's not going to be any better than that, and he's probably 3.5 years old.
Right.
So he's not going to be any better than that.
You know, and people don't understand, you know, trying to take out all these deer, what a job that is, trying to, you know, get your does, especially the does, trying to thin those down to where, you know, get it close to the ratio you want. And it's harder
That's
than
right.
you think to shoot all those deer, man.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to make sure the does are barren does, number one.
Right.
You don't want them with fawns, you know. Like, we're still seeing fawns with spots. You know, we're still seeing some. Like this last mm-hmm. week, they had spots. So you have to make sure, you know, they don't have fawns with them. And so, you know, you got to make sure of that. And anyway, you're trying to, you know, harvest the older does. And anyway, you just got to manage it. And the biologist that works with us, he's trying to tell us how many does that we should harvest and all that. And that's what it's all about. When we first started, when they first got this ranch, the biggest buck that they killed on this ranch was a 154. That was the biggest one they took.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at deer over 200. You know, and that's good management.
Management pays off. It does.
It does. It does.
It's kind of like the way we would like to manage our fishery.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And you've got to get the doe-buck ratio down. You know, mm-hmm. you've got to get it down. We're pretty much one-to-one. We're pretty close to one-to-one on this ranch. And you've got to get those bucks competing, you know, the bigger bucks competing.
And, yeah, I've hunted ranches where there's just way too many does. I mean, it's got mm-hmm. a lot of bucks on it, but, man, there's, you know, for every buck you see, you see five or ten does. And
yeah. Well, remember back in the old days, back when we grew up, remember we'd get these deer leases and the old farmers, they wouldn't let you shoot a doe. Remember
I know. That?
They wouldn't allow it. And, you know, they, oh, no, you can't shoot a doe. And that was the old understanding, you know. And it hurt them. Consequently, the deer, the bucks were very small. I remember we had a family lease in Carlos outside of Bryan, and there were like five families on this lease. And opening weekend, I killed the biggest buck on the lease for the whole year, and it was a 6-point. Yeah. Yeah. And that was it. And it was small.
Yeah, it ends up making everything inferior.
Yeah, exactly. Because nobody was allowed to shoot does. Just too many does. Yeah. So anyway, good management changes everything.
Does eat good too. Yes, they do.
Like a lot of people say now, you know, you can't eat the horns, you know.
That's true.
You can't eat the horns. But I agree. And personally, I mean, you know, as well as I do, I've shot enough deer in my life. I could care less about killing a big deer. I've shot enough in my life. I enjoy putting a customer on a good deer. I really
sure.
do. And I had the guy that had the lease. I'll never forget this. He came out to me one day. I was skinning a deer, and he said, "Do you know where there's a good deer? I've got this customer that really I would like to put him on a good deer." And I said, "Yep, I do. I know where there's a real good one." And he said, "Well, I really want him to kill a good one." I said, "Okay." So anyway, that next day he killed like a 168 or something like that. And so anyway. This was an old lease, and the guy that had the lease came out there, and I was skinning the deer out, I was taping him out, and the guy that had the lease came out there and leaned over my shoulder, and he said, "This deer just made me a lot of money." And I said, "Well, that's what it's all about." And then he said, "Exactly."
That's right.
And I said, "That's right. Exactly."
All but, right, you know, Lynn.
I had more pleasure putting that man on that deer than me personally shooting.
Yeah, that's very rewarding.
I enjoy seeing those big deer.
Sure.
Killing them. Yeah. But anyway,
well, cool.
That's what it's called.
All right, Lynn. Well, I got to run. If somebody wants to call you and get hooked up with you and pick your brain and all that good stuff and maybe even wed a lamb with you, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
Sir, guy, they can reach me at 361-935-6833.
All right, Lynn. Well, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Have you a good trip today, and good luck. And I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, man. I'll be
okay, Lynn. Hey, thank
all
you.
Right,
have a good day. All right, see you, man.
All
right, that's Captain Lynn Smith down in Port O'Connor. Now we're going to go up to Lake Conroe and talk to our good friend Tex Bonins, see what he's up to this morning. A year older and still at it. Tex, what's up?
Hey, good morning, Captain Mickey. Yeah, a year older. I don't mind telling everybody now. He's 79 years old. You know,
atta boy, you're my hero, man.
Oh man, it's been something, Captain Mickey. I tell you what, we got this weather out of here. Some it kind of messed me up a little bit. We're going yesterday and ended up. They called me and canceled. And they were down at Freeport. And they were getting 45, 47-mile-an-hour winds down there. And he said, I don't think we're going to chance it.
Yeah.
So we put it off. I'll get them later. I told them let the storms calm down, and we'll mm-hmm. pick another day and go, you know. So I didn't, per se, lose them. I'll get them back somewhere along the line. But it was
right.
something that they were down there in some of that stuff there at Freeport, you know, and he said, man, it's blowing bad down here. And so we put it off. Billy and Carl went, and it was a slow day yesterday for them. They didn't get a bunch. And Billy never did tell me how many, so I know it was bad.
Yeah.
You get but numbers. They don't tell you, though. He said we didn't do very good, and that was it.
As I also wrote.
Yes, sir, they had to work. But, you know, I had a great day yesterday, Mickey. I when they canceled, it was, you know, the day before. And I told the wife, I said, you know, I'm going to barbecue tomorrow. Look like the weather's going to probably move out. Uh-huh. And, man, I got some pork butt out and some ribs and some of that old skinless sausage, you know, and I had it thawing out. And the next morning I fired the pit up, and I cooked about 3/4 of the day yesterday, and it all came out good, Mickey. And we got the seal a meal deal out, and we fixed us up some groceries. When I go to that deer lease, all I got to do is grab up some groceries and head that way.
Yes, sir.
But it worked out real good, Mickey. And I don't think we got a lot of rain over at the deer lease or anything, too. And I've been telling you about I fixed up a deer blind. It was one of the tent jobs, you know. It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that thing about two office chairs in there, and I got a bench in there, and we need a place to lay the guns in there. So I'm making a gun rack now where it'll hold two guns, and I'm gonna attach it to that bench in there, and then that bench I'll attach it to the platform, and we'll have us hopefully a pretty good deer stand going here. And the camera, my wife is a nut for those deer cameras. And
yeah.
She's got two of them out there, and she's anxious to get back over there. And we had the one, and we showing Silver Buck there one at the stand there. It's coming at night, but all you do when you get them at night, well, hope they'll come through another time, and maybe they're chasing a doe or something like that, and you'll get a chance to get a shot at them, you know. So we're looking forward to it. And I have fished, Mickey, and early this past week, and took them out, and I think I had four people, and my brain worked right here, but we had a good, I will tell the numbers, I think we had a good, good catfish day, Mickey, and with four people, we had 15 catfish and 2 bream, and those catfish were running 4, 5, and 6 pounds.
Oh, nice ones.
I want you to know, I mean, good catfish. I heard you and Richard talking earlier than that a week or so ago, and Richard was saying he's catching some good catfish, too, and it seemed like our numbers come down. You know, before that, I think you may have heard me say 40-something catfish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it's 15 catfish, but, man, some good, like I said, 4, 5, 6-pounders that are good fillets, I call it.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
And going on from there, and like I said, the bream are moving to the deep water. Both those big bream came from probably 22 foot of water, Mickey. There was some brush stubble out there, and they'd already getting in their wintertime pattern. And later on, the water gets pretty cold and everything, and, you know, the fish kind of get lethargic. I take those green night crawlers, and we'll load a hook up with them. And you use a small, well, I use a number four brim hook. And anyhow, we'll load it up with a worm and go down there around them, some of that brush stuff out there. And like I said, anywhere 18, 20-something foot of water. And those old big brim down there, I guess the big cats don't bother them all that much. But, boy, they'll jump on that. And you'll end up with a mess of great big brim like that. And just pair you catch a day when they're wanting to bite real good, you know. No finer eating, Mickey. You know that.
No, that's good stuff, man. Them Conroe cats can't be beat. Yeah.
It's something else. But anyhow, between the fishing, I call it about a day a week. We're getting right down. Let's get these storms out of here and water calm down again. And that and getting ready for hunting season, Mickey. I mean, it's here on us, you know.
Yeah, life is good for outdoorsmen right now. It's all
time
of year.
Yes, sir, man. You bet. Yes, and I got a good barbecue pit over at the Deer Lease, too. So I'll be looking forward. What's nice there, you can throw something on the pit early in the morning and then go to the deer stand. And by noon, you usually get out of the stand, come back to camp, and you can check your fire out and all that or add to it. And, man, you can have some fine eating over there like that and still do your deer hunting and everything, too. So it's fun.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. That's right up my alley, buddy.
Yes, sir. I got someone over there got one of the green barbecue deals. They use the pellets, you know.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And you, I think you had one at one time there.
Well,
I've
got a green egg I've had for years. Yeah. You know, it's not pellets. You know, you
got
to use
probably
that.
That's what he's got.
Yeah.
They use pellets, you know.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's gonna be fun over there, you know. And anyhow, Captain Mike Jeffco's a darn good cook.
That's what I hear.
He don't talk a whole lot about it, everything, but down at their lodge, you know, I know they cook some fabulous meals down there. But when he's up, you're gonna eat good. Put it that way. He made some great gumbo here couple weeks ago, and we feasted on that, and it was. He said that didn't turn out to be my best, and I said, if there's anything better, just let me be there.
I heard that. I'm with you.
wait.
All right, Tex. Well, hey, top of the hour is coming up, and I got to roll. But if somebody wants to come up to Conroe and fish with you or any of the guys, give them some info.
We'll do it, Captain Megan. We do guide through the winter, and. I'll come in from that deer lease and go out, bait the catfish holes up, and then fish a day or whatever, and then go back to the deer lease. That's about how I work it. But the number is 713-252-4290 and lakeconroefishingguides.com. Anybody wants to go, just kind of call me ahead of time, and we'll set it up, and if the weather let us, we'll get them.
You got it. All right, Tex. Well, have a good Sunday. Always enjoy talking to you, and you have a good one, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Tex. See you, bud. All right. That's Tex Boning up on Lake Conroe. All right, top of the hour, national anthem and all that good stuff coming up. But phone lines are open. Sicko hour is about to begin. It's 6 o'clock, so any of you early morning sickos want to call in, here's that number, 713-572-4610. And we'll be right back after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.